dead now, and they go to their class. That's well, this morning I want to talk about a little subject that's usually a sore spot with people. No, we're not talking about money. I did that a couple weeks ago. We're going to talk about forgiveness. And, you know, in the day and age we live in, I remember years ago, my grandma's neighbor had on a rock, big rock. I mean, the rock was huge, right at the end of her driveway. And it said, to err is human, to forgive is divine. And, you know, I never really knew what to think of it. I didn't understand forgiveness, as most of the body of Christ does not. We think we can hold on to things. We think we can continue to hold grudges against people. Well, you know, that was 35 years ago that your great-granddaddy did that to me. You got to let it go. I'm sure my great-granddaddy did a lot of things to people. The more I have found out about my family, the more I thank God for redemption. But forgiveness is one of those things that we should not take lightly, because it's one of the hardest things to do. When Jesus was having supper with his disciples that night, he said, I want you to love each other the way I have loved you. Now, there's a lot of things we think about when we think about that, don't we? Because Jesus said, no greater love has any man than he would lay down his life for his friends. We see that scripture pop up without fail. Memorial Day and Veterans Day. But I need you to understand something. Jesus wasn't just stopping about dying. He said, I want you to love each other as I've loved you. In other words, I want you to forgive others as I have forgiven you. One man, Jesus, he was crippled. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And the scribes and Pharisees, well, the religious nuts of their day, jumped all over him. Who does he think he is to forgive anybody? Only God can forgive. I need you to understand something. First off, when it comes to the sins that we typically think of in biblical, you're right. God is the one who does the forgiving. But what Jesus merely did was explained to him, you're free of that sin. You're free. So many people still hold on to it. Well, this is my family. This is who I am. This is the cards I've been dealt. And so they keep holding on to things, not realizing that they're pulling unforgiveness into themselves. I like to liken unforgiveness to an abscessed tooth. It starts out a little tiny cavity in something that should be impervious, but through wear and tear and improper treatment, something has gotten through and ate through its protective shell. And it gets in there and it starts eating away more and more, and we keep ignoring it. Now, if we don't get it fixed quickly, what'll happen is that tooth will start to rot. And here's an unfortunate fact. Others will know we have an abscessed tooth before we pay attention to it, or even a cavity, because it'll start to smell. And it's the same way with unforgiveness. Others can see unforgiveness operating in our lives before we do. Well, I just don't like those people. You know what? I didn't say you got to be their best buds. But quit holding that people in unforgiveness. And so eventually what happens is that abscessed tooth starts to develop a poison. And then that poison will get in your bloodstream. My dad nearly died from one. Just abscessed tooth. And one dentist we went to told me, he says, I have had patients die because they would not come in and at least get the thing pulled. They died from the abscessed tooth because the poison got into their blood. See, it's the same way with unforgiveness.
Well, I'm big enough. I'm the bigger man. I'm going to just muscle through this, and nobody's going to change me.
And the truth of the matter is, what's happening is that poison is getting into you, and it's slowly killing you. And just like the abscessed tooth, people can see unforgiveness on your face. They can hear it in your speech, in your actions. Most people who are living destructive lifestyles have unforgiveness in their life. They have unresolved issues. I'm telling you, folks, you got to deal with the issue. I mean, I know there's something not quite right with my truck. It doesn't run like it used to. It doesn't sound like it used to. And I know I've got to deal with the problem. I can't just keep fixing, you know, shining it up. Oh, doesn't it look okay and all this? And no. I got to deal with the issue. And same thing in our lives. Well, Pastor, it sounds like you're talking about New Age theology and, you know, psychiatric stuff. Yes, we are psychotics. All of us. We all have issues. One place or another in our lives, we've got something we don't want to touch. You know, the other day I was pulling siding off of the house. I'm just going like a madman. I'm finally up above the about the two-story level, and I'm jerking the siding off of the house, you know, and thousands and thousands of wasp parts are falling on me. You learn to breathe with your mouth shut, even if you're huffing and puffing. But one of them I grabbed, and what it does is it rips the nail right out of the hole, so it leaves a jagged edge. And one of them I grabbed at the top, and I don't normally grab it there, but because I was on a ladder, I grabbed it there, and when I did, I ripped it, the palm of my hand. Well, that's going to start bleeding. And sure enough, it started bleeding a little bit and ran it under some cold water and put some alcohol down in there and got the super glue out and super glued my hand. It worked great. Problem is I kept using my hand. And it's not in a place that stitches would do any good anyhow. I'm wishing I'd have put some triple antibiotic ointment on it, but hey, super glue don't stick to that. But you see, what happened is I just kept ignoring it and working it, and then I would only realize that it still hurt when I'd hit it. And when you're putting on siding, you learn to use the palm of your hands, and so it starts to hurt. Well, that's what we do. We start, oh, you know what? I just won't do that anymore. I'll walk around with my pain. So we start protecting it. It's become festered. It's releasing its toxins in us. And ultimately, that can kill us. So I want to start in Matthew chapter 18. Peter was a good one for this whole thing to have come through. As we remember, the night Jesus was betrayed, he denied knowing Jesus 3 times. And again, what you need to understand is he was not just a half a mile away. He was basically across the room, across the courtyard from Jesus. He could see Jesus' face, and Jesus knew what he had just done. So if you can imagine being Peter, you denied knowing Jesus, and he saw you. But yet, Jesus came back to him. He restored him. And I'm going to tell you something. He didn't say, Peter, I forgive you. Did he? He said, go feed my sheep. Go feed my lambs. Go feed my lambs. Go do what I've called you. Why? Because Peter was holding himself in unforgiveness. All right, so verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. I know you've heard this basic message hundreds of times here. I would rather you understand forgiveness than you understand about how to get $1 million in your bank account. See, if you get the understanding of forgiveness, you go to heaven. But if you don't understand forgiveness and you don't forgive, who cares what your bank account reads? Seven times. Now that seems to be pretty good, doesn't it? One day. You know, hey, Rob comes up to me and man, he insults me seriously, hurts me, makes fun of me or whatever, seven times, and I forgive him all seven times. I'm doing good. Listen to Jesus. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. 490 times in one day. Holy Toledo. You'd be better off taking a beating and getting sent to the hospital. But Jesus said, he gave him an astronomical number is what he did. He said, every time somebody sins against you, you forgive them. Every time. Every time. Time and time and time and time again. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. It's like $1 million today, okay? But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment may be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Now today, if you're paying attention to your taxes, if you're forgiven a debt, your government is going to tax you on that forgiveness of debt. And we wonder why our government's in the shape it's in. They don't understand forgiveness. But in this case, that king forgave the entire debt because the man asked him to. There's something to be said there. You need to understand. And by the way, there's a couple things that the Bible is very quiet about. And if you notice, this man's family was about to be sold into slavery. I don't like slavery. I'm just saying it was the way things were done back then. You settled debts. You settled accounts. I'd hate to think that my children would have to be sold off to work in the rock mines just to pay off my debt so I could have a sports car. Although now that I'm thinking about it, no. So Jesus has told him 490 times. Now he starts saying the kingdom of heaven. We need to pay attention whenever the Bible says the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to tell you a little something. So many people today are trying to teach you that what Jesus was teaching was the old covenant. Know this, the kingdom of heaven does not change based on what side of the book you're reading on. The kingdom of God is the same, period. It does not change just because of the cross. The action done at the cross fulfilled the law, but it did not change the kingdom of heaven. And there's things in the Apostle Paul wrote about the kingdom of heaven we had better start paying attention to when we say, does God really mind this? Yeah, I think he does. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And when he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Now, by the way, it's about $1,000, okay? That's what we're talking, the big difference. Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servants fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not. This is where we get into trouble. But he would not forgive him, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have commanded or compassion on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, what we do is we say, okay, I'll use Gloria. Gloria wronged me. She offended me. That's our big word for the decade, isn't it? Offend. Maybe I need to go back and talk about how the church needs to quit being offended. Oh, that offends me. Do you know what the word really means? It's a trap. A trap to catch you into sin. Playing electric guitars does not offend anybody, will not lead you into sin. You know what leads you into sin? You do. Your desires, your lusts, that's what leads you into sin. So quit being offended at everybody because they have an opinion. My wife and I do not have the same opinions on everything. Is there anybody who has got the marriage where you and your wife see eye to eye on everything? Please raise your hand and we will pray for you. Okay, she told you to say that, didn't she? She is her father's daughter. So what we do is we say, well, you know what? God has forgiven me of my sins. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We come in, we dance, we shout. We hallelujah all the louder. But then, you know, Gloria does something she didn't even mean to do. You offended me. Well, please forgive me. Oh, no, no, no. That is totally inexcusable. That is totally unforgivable for you to do that. You know what you just did? You just took in an injection of poison. I can't even think of the Batman character. I know Jason will know. The one with Topher Grace, where he turned into the black Spider-Man. Venom. Got jealous. You're so much better than him. So we start taking in that venom. And so what happens is we change from something that we should be and could be into something destructive and hateful. All because we couldn't forgive. Well, Pastor, you don't know what they did. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter. Does not matter. Jesus commanded that we forgive. And he said, so will my heavenly Father do unto you if you do not forgive. Now we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he changes not. So why would God suddenly change? Because of grace. Abraham knew God's grace. David, under the law, understood God's grace and operated in it. Because David committed many felonies that needed to have him executed. But yet, he walked in God's grace. That's why we can't hear. So we're looking, we're trying to say, well, no, I can pick and choose who I want to forgive. I don't care what preacher did what, said what, forgive them. Get on with your life, because guess what? A lot of these guys are dead. And guess who's held in prison? Unlike the parable, you don't put Gloria into prison because you have something against her. You put yourself in that prison. Notice the guy ended up in prison, but also notice all of his sins came back. All of his debt came back upon him. I don't know about you, but I don't want that. I don't want everything I've been forgiven of to get to the end and say, whoops, I got to pay the debt. It'll never be paid. We know that. I can never pay it. That's why Jesus came to do that. And that's why he said, I want you to love each other the way I love you. Love. Love is a verb. You've heard the song. It's an action word. It's something that we're continually moving and doing. Just like a marriage is a continual moving thing of loving the other person. Do we get our wires crossed? Do we get our little feelings hurt? Yes, we do. It's the nature of human beings. But we still have to move on. We still have to forgive. So many people today, they're looking for blessing blockers. You've probably heard the term. Find a blessing blocker in your life. Well, there are such things as blessing blockers. But I want to tell you something. Unforgiveness of sin. People that may have harmed you. But keep in mind, every person that may have harmed you, you've probably tenfold on that now. Because you've been running around offending people with the poison. Just as if you've got an abscessed tooth, you don't know that that thing is rotten. But when you speak out, every person that you've spoken to has to receive of that abscess. Okay, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings here. We're all adults, right? Please tell me. I know we got a couple that aren't quite adults, but they're young people. They're young adults. Because I'm not going to mix words with you. I want to see you all in heaven. I want to see you with Jesus. I want, when that trumpet that we sang about today, when it blows, I want to be there rejoicing. Hallelujah. There's my whole church. I can see them popping up all over Central Ohio. Not, hey, where's so-and-so? Where are they at? They refuse to forgive. But forgiveness of sins is essential for your life. You've got to walk it out. You've got to just continue every day. I got to tell you, folks, I'm telling you, practice it. If you start, your day's going good, and all of a sudden, a thought pops up in your mind. Some wrong somebody did to you. And let's call it a legitimate wrong, because sometimes they're illegitimate. Really? You're still got your panties in a wad over that? Grow up. We're too far along in the timeline to be playing patty cake now. Jesus' return is imminent. Everything the Bible has talked about, if you aren't paying attention, we're starting to see it. We're seeing things set up. So you know what's at stake? Eternity. That's what's at stake. But if you're going along your day and then all of a sudden, man, I can't believe what that person did. Oh, here, I'll use myself. I can't believe Pastor Art told me to grow up. I'm older than him. It ain't the first time I've heard it, and I'll tell you again, grow up. Why should I, who's younger than you, have to act more mature? I want to be immature. Trust me, you can ask my wife. I don't want to do the mature thing. I don't want to do the grown-up thing. I want to act like I'm 16 again. It's just my 45-year-old body doesn't understand that. You know, when you're up on top of a ladder and you're like, I didn't used to get dizzy up here. Maybe I better just slide myself on back down. Now, yep, ground is good. So, I can't believe Pastor Art told me to forgive. How dare he? I've actually had somebody tell me this. They were offended that I told them to grow up, and I did it just like this. If I have to tell you to grow up to your face, I'm not going to be nice, especially if you catch me after service. I've told people, I said, if you do not want all the barrels, don't try to seek counseling after service. Because I can't control anointing. And I'm trying to pull back on the reins of the flesh. The anointing's lifting and the flesh is rising. I'm hungry. I'm getting tired. My brain's a little fried. You might not get what you like. But I can promise you it'll be good for you if you don't get offended. And so anyhow, Pastor, I can't believe that. Plus, God, I'm just going to go tell him off. Knock yourself out. I might. I don't know. Knock you out. That's what, no. Let me tell you what you do. Lord, I forgive him. I forgive him. And by the way, I know the Bible says if you have aught against your brother, go to him and blah, 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 blah. Well, here, let's make sure that you have a legitimate claim against whoever your brother is. Gloria bumped you out of line at the bathroom. Just say something. Definitely don't get your panties in a wad over that. But you see, that's how stupid we get when it comes to our grievances with each other. And I'm going to tell you something else. There's a lot of people, you can't ever go back, can you? Some of them have passed on, moved away, and there are those, I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't going to find it in the Bible, you cannot go to. As a matter of fact, you were better off to leave that sleeping dog lie. I've done it. And I'll tell you what, when that dog woke up and bit me, I was like, are you kidding? You're supposed to be a spiritually mature Christian and you just acted like this? I even went to one person and I felt I had wronged them. And I asked them to forgive me and they turned that thing around and didn't talk to him for 6 months. Which wasn't an all bad thing. But you see what I'm talking about? There are some people, you just need to learn, they aren't going to get it. Pray for them. The Bible says to pray for those who spitefully use you, who harm you, who hurt you. Don't you think that God knows what's going to straighten them out? God knew what it was going to take to straighten me out. And he let my course run that direction. So many of us, well, we don't want anything to happen. Not much of a life, is it? I have to think, I'll go to the children's side. I have to think of Finding Nemo. Marlin doesn't want Nemo to go out because he's the last of the little batch of eggs. He can't make it on his own out there in the great big blue. He said he just wants to protect him, doesn't want him to have any life. Basically, beyond his little anemone. And Dory says, doesn't sound like much fun for little Nemo. I've told my kids, you need to get out and have a life. I want them to see the world. Yeah, I'll miss them while they're gone. They'll come back. But I want this stuff to happen. Why? Because I'm going to tell you right now, people doing them wrong will teach them how to forgive. And you might as well get used to it. We live in a fallen world. People are going to do you wrong all the time. You just try not to be the one that gets done wrong. That's where we become wise as serpents and harmless as doves. This isn't going to show up on the overhead, but 1 John... I've got to remember to put a pair of glasses in my office and leave them. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I actually heard a wife tell me, she said, my husband doesn't think he has any sin. And she pointed out one pretty major thing in their lives. And she's like, that's sin. And yet the man attends church regularly, but believes he has never sinned. There's a song, Spirit in the Sky, of Norman Greenbaum. But anybody from the 70s knows it. And if you were in the 90s, you remember the Kentucky Headhunters redid it. I'm not a sinner. I've never sinned because I've got a friend in Jesus. I got news for you. Jesus is going to say, who are you? What do you mean you've got a friend? For me to say Richard's my friend, I got to know Richard. before they got together, before they got married, I didn't know Richard from Adam. So for me to say, oh yeah, we've always been friends, is a lie. I didn't know him for the last several years. So maybe I've known Jesus since I was a baby. Really? Then you should be walking on water by now, shouldn't you, brother? Just saying. If you've known Jesus that long, then you understand forgiveness, you understand love, and you know what? That's what's going to hold you afloat on the water. By the way, I can't walk on water, so I still don't fully understand it. I would love to. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know, that's a pretty powerful scripture right there. Oh, I've never sinned. Well, if you're holding people in unforgiveness, you're sinning. So therefore, you just nullified your own self-righteousness. And we know that our self-righteousness is filthy rags. But the Bible says if we confess our sins. Anybody who has any kind of addiction, first and foremost, must admit they have the addiction. That's all there is to it. I don't care if it's sugar. I'm going to quit demonizing what we have been taught through religion are all, they're bad. I'm not going to deny alcoholism and drug addiction and all those other and nicotine addictions and all that. I'm not going to just say, oh, those are just the evil ones. Caffeine. I don't care if the FDA does say it's okay for you. It is still a drug. Because if it was not, you could walk away from pop, couldn't you? You could walk away from your coffee because it's really nasty. But the caffeine is also good. So you, and here's what we do. We like, oh, I'll put some more sugar, some more cream. We'll, you know, put a little whipped topping on. Oh, let's add some caramel or some nut flavor to it. And let's pay $10 a cup. Don't tell me you ain't got an addiction. I choke when I have to pay a dollar a cup for coffee. But you see, we like to demonize everybody else's little thing. Oh, you know, brother, you know, you're going to hell because you're smoking cigarettes. You've heard me say it before. It doesn't send you to hell. It just makes you smell like you've been there. And may send you to heaven faster. Let's be honest. And don't think that smokeless tobacco is any different. I got an uncle who never smoked a cigarette in his life. Died of lung cancer, and all he ever did was Copenhagen. And it was from the tobacco. I think he was about 45. Just saying, okay? But so can sugar. Anybody understand the sugar addiction? It doesn't take much. Oh, I gotta have some sugar. Start weaning yourself off. I'm still working on it. I had a sweet tea the other day, just went straight up. I'm just going full on sweet tea at McDonald's. Holy Moses, that was some southern sweet tea now. I think when they poured it out, opened that thing up and went glub, glub, glub. It was more like syrup. I started to realize I can't keep running on sugar and caffeine like that. Working on the caffeine, I don't drink a whole mess of it. I mean, I know people drink two or three pots before they go to work. And if I, you know, I'll drink two cups, which is most of a pot, because I don't drink the pots. Have you ever noticed that the pot marks, it's like 10 cups is right here, but the cup I drink out of, yeah, and the one she drinks out is even bigger. Yeah, she adds milk so it tastes better. Yeah, that's what it is. So we like to look at other people's little things and say, oh, you know, yours is so much worse than mine. I'll bet you actually there's just as many people have died of diabetes as there have any other things. And a lot of them didn't know they had it. You want to drop a few pounds? Cut out some of the sugar in your life. That's why I'm doing mine. I realized the other day that a pair of pants I had put on last year, they don't fit. That I'm into large shirts, and I was always into small. Shut up. No comments from the peanut gallery. But that's what it's been. And I know a lot of you have started dropping some weight. And that's what usually does it. If you can get off of that, hopefully it'll trigger something. And it starts working. Not for certain how we got onto that from unforgiveness, but I can usually sin. Sin is sin. Yeah, that's all there is to it. There's no, in my opinion, there's no real thing as seven deadly sins. Sin is deadly. The wages of sin, you know, Romans puts it this way. The wages of sin is death. Not the wages of just adultery, fornication, stealing, lying, cheating. The wages of sin, period. And what is sin really? Things we do that are harmful to us or to somebody else. The Apostle Paul put it this way when he's talking about our freedoms and our liberties. He said, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are beneficial to me. And he said, if I know that Gloria is offended because I'm eating a steak that was sacrificed over here at the altar of Baal, even though he said it's just a piece of rock. He said, if it were not for the fact that she hasn't gotten to that point yet to understand that that's all it is, I won't eat it. I will not touch it because it hurts her. Why? Because he said, then my liberty becomes sin. Now, I'm going to tell you what my goal in life is to do, is to teach you to grow up with that stuff. It's a steak. It's a rock. Who cares? That's all there is to it. Let's focus on the more important issues, like keeping our marriages holy. Like raising our children as God would have us to raise them. Let's focus on the important things in our life instead of, man, you know what, that church over there, they believe that you got to be totally baptized when you're baptized to be saved. And that church over there, well, they don't believe you're saved until you're baptized. Well, that church there believes that you get the Holy Spirit when you're baptized. Seriously? And these are three different denominations. Really? And this is what split them. How about we just focus on what is sin? Because I don't agree with some of the guys that run around and even in the word, I don't even call myself word of faith. I'm a Christian. Just as my dog tag said, Christian. Because when I need my dog tags, it don't matter who's there to pray for me. Because I'm not there. All they're going to do is take one of them off, put one on my toe, take the other one, put it between my teeth, and kick it. It don't matter. I don't want a Muslim praying over me, but the Jew wants to come over, pray. I don't care. Art's not home. So we've done that. Instead of looking at what really is sin. Oh no, brother, that's the blessing of God. That's just the cost of business in the church. The church shouldn't be business anymore. The more I see church business, the more I want to vomit. It's about building big churches. Who cares? If I build a huge house on the beach and a hurricane comes through and I didn't build the foundation, I don't care how big of a pretty house I just built on the beach. Hurricane Andrew's going to flatten her flatter than flat. That's all there is to it. But if I take the time and I teach you to build your foundation on rock. Listen, we may only be about 80 strong, but you'll be the 80 strongest that there is. And that's what matters. My drill instructors used to say, boys, you may not be the, he said, you may not be the smartest on the island, but when we get through, you will be the strongest. Now start pushing. Why? Because at the end of the day, it ain't all those that got the glass cathedrals. I'm not knocking Robert Schuller. It ain't the guys that got the jets. It's the ones that are still standing when the storm blew in. That's what matters. That's when you can look and say, wow, that house had a good foundation. That church had a good foundation. That believer had a good foundation. Sin causes us to cower. It causes us to withdraw and to keep hiding. I don't want people to find that out about me. What, you're screwed up? Anybody not screwed up, please raise your hand. Richard, I'd slide my chair over just a little bit. But you see, it, and I know she's joking, but sin will keep us from advancing. Unforgiveness boils right into there. And I got to tell you, we can say, well, where did unforgiveness start? The garden. Really, it did. Eve blamed the snake. Adam blamed Eve. And there you have it. Ladies, could you imagine being there and you're standing before God and she's like, but Lord, the serpent. Well, he cursed the serpent and then he cursed her. And he looked at Adam and said, what do you got to say for it? She made me do it. What? You coward. But the truth of the matter is that is not where sin started. All sin gets its root in pride. Adam and Eve did not sin for gold, so therefore money is not the root of evil, of all evil. It is a root because we'll do anything for money. But it's also what keeps us from forgiving other people. See, pride, oh, you know what? I'm just going to keep holding this thing over Gloria's head. I'm just going to keep giving her the cold shoulder. I'm going to keep ignoring her. I'm going to just keep treating her bad until she comes crawling to me. Why do people have to come crawling to you? Why do they have to beg you? I understand you get people get mad. I've been there a few times. But you got to get over it sometime. And I mean within a couple days, not weeks, not months, not years, do you need to take to get over it? You don't have that long now. So, forgive them. Open the windows of heaven for the blessing to come into your life by forgiving them. And God will bring justice and he'll set the record straight for you. But if you want to keep operating in pride and saying, well, I'm not going to forgive them, I don't want to be in your boat when it comes to the storm because I'm not going down in it. Repent, get over it, and grow up. And by the way, you are not going to grow up until you repent. I'm here to tell you today from personal experience, that's why I'm here. For years and years and years, I held some things against some elders and some preachers, and man, And they had legitimately done some hurtful things. And by the way, they have paid a price, a dear price. But they did some personal things to me. They didn't violate me or anything. They just tore my heart out. And there's nothing more dangerous than somebody who don't care. Okay? And that's where I'd gotten. And then finally, I mean, I kept my pastor in North Carolina. He taught about forgiveness, and I started working one person at a time, working my way up. And didn't realize that I still had some other people from further back that I was holding in unforgiveness. And God finally got through to me, and I started saying, Lord, I forgive him. I forgive this man. I forgive that man. I forgive them for what they did, even though they've never once acknowledged that they did anything. That does not matter. And if you're, I've got to have it, grow up. It might be the title of today's message. But one day I finally did it, and you know what? I was walking around and I was pondering on the things of the Lord and the Word, and I said, I feel grown up. I told you, I feel grown up. I ran into an old friend at the, in town one day, and I said, you know what, it's been the most amazing thing. I've been a Christian or living a Christian existence for a long time, and just now do I feel grown up. What made the difference? I forgave that man. I forgave that man. I forgave that man. And then within 1 year, or was it even a year? It was that fall. God called me to start this church. Do you know where you would be, where I would be? I believe God sent you here for a reason. Because as I sit down and I talk with people and I start listening, I realize a lot of people have been in the same boat and they're having a hard time fighting out of it. They're having a hard time getting free. And sometimes you just need to have the attitude of, let's just blow a hole through the obstacle instead of trying to figure out how to work around it. Let's just destroy it and get through it. But today, I want you to practice forgiveness. No matter who it was. Like I said, some of them you can't go talk to for whatever reasons. And some of them, you may see them every day. Ask God to help you. Because you will see, as you forgive them, your life will significantly get better. Not meaning that the devil never comes at you. Just means that God is there moving in your life, helping you grow, get past these things, and they keep holding on to them, and you'll see they start shrinking away, shriveling to nothing. But if you don't forgive, I'm going to tell you in the words of Christ, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And you can take that to the bank. No such thing as old covenant or new covenant there. God does not change. Because you're trying to play God. And he's the only one who holds that right. I don't hold the right. That's all there is to it. I have no choice but to forgive. You have no choice but to forgive. So let's work on getting the rest of our lives together and forgiving, and watch what God does. You'd be surprised at what God starts to do and move in your life. I mean, it might have been little Billy Bob down in kindergarten stepped on your toe or collared on your paper. But dude, we're going to take home to your mommy to put on the refrigerator, and he ruined it. Forgiving. And if God starts bringing people to your heart, you start having weird dreams, I'll just throw it that way, about people in your past who have wronged you and hurt you, start praying for them. I'm serious, pray for them because their lives are in danger. I say that because some of the people that God has given me dreams about, like, that guy was a jerk to me. I don't like him, never did, never will. But God said, you need to start praying for him. Even in my dreams, he was a jerk. The only reason he got away with it, he was a lot bigger than me. And I didn't know how to cheat back then. Something about attitude goes a long way. I may not be the biggest but I will bite. He committed suicide last year. Pray for him. You don't know what might be going on. God didn't want me hunting him down. I know for a fact that he knew about God because his mama was a born-again Christian. But you never know. If you can pray for them, it means you're not bitter against them. As long as you're praying for them, not for God to smite them with the fleas of 1,000 camels. All right, now let's stand. I want you to know whatever you're believing for, whatever you're trusting God for, continue to stand. Doesn't matter what people are saying around you. What matters is what God has to say about the issue. Doesn't matter what the latest political analysis is or what rumors are going around about this, that, or the other. What matters is, let me see here. Let me get back to it. Holy Toledo, I didn't realize that was so big. What matters is that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And if you've never read your Bible, you don't know what I just read. It's the last words of the book of Revelation. Amen. So be it. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, that you have forgiven us and that you have chosen. Lord, we take that for granted. That when it says you've cast our sins as far as the east is to the west, that in reality, you chose to do that. You could have as easily held on to it, but you chose to forgive us. Lord, help us to choose to forgive, to choose to move on. We may have forgiven a million things, but we still have to move on to 1,000,001 and 1,000,002. And so forth. Lord, I pray that you help us, strengthen us, give us wisdom, especially when new opportunities arise to quickly forgive, to bring the fire of our anger into subjection, and to deal with what is the real problem. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, I know that as they leave here, your Spirit will leave with them. That wherever they go will be blessed because of you. And now, Father, I pray that you bless the week coming up to them. Father, bless the work of their hands. Lead them and guide them in all truth and all in understanding, Father. And in this week, in all they're getting, Father, help them to get understanding. In Jesus' name. Amen.